In today's Mishnah, we learn the sixth and final Mishnah from the second parak of Masechta Midot, and it will begin the third parak. So the Mishnah begins, Ulashachot hayu tachat Ezrat Israel. So if you recall, we explained in yesterday's Mishnah that there were 15 steps that led up from the Ezrat Nashim up to the Ezrat Israel, which was just through the doors of the Shar Nikanor. And so since it is elevated from the level of the Ezrat Nashim, Mishnah explains that there were actually two chambers underneath Ezrat Israel, which were clearly accessible, as the Mishnah explains, were putochot le'Ezrat Hanashim, accessible from the Ezrat Nashim. So the question is, what was it used for? So Mishnah says, Shesham ha'levim notanim kinarot nevalim u'mitziltayim v'kol klei shir. It is there where the Levim stored their harps, lyres, cymbals, and other instruments. The Mishnah then continues, Ezrat Israel, that region now that we described Ezrat Israel, where the Israelim would stand when they wanted to bring their korbanot, hata orach mea Ama Oshoshim V'chamesh. It was 135 amot wide. That's going running from north to south, which is the width of the Azara. Arochav Achadasar, and it was 11 amot deep. V'chen Ezrat Kohanim. And so too, the Ezrat Kohanim, this region called Ezrat Kohanim, was also Haita Orach, which again, if we're proceeding westward into the Azara, is the next region. It was also Ha'orach Me'a Oshoshim V'chamesh. It was 135 amot wide. Arochav Achat Asra, 11 amot as well. V'Roshei Pispesin. So we saw this expression that divided the Kodesh and Chol in the Beit HaMoked. So Mishnah explains there were these blocks or these pieces of wood that separated between Ezrat Israel and the Ezrat Kohanim. Again, the discussion, was it on the floor, was it a small fence, was it on the side of the walls, but that's a matter for your further study. Mavdilin, and that was to separate between Ezrat Israel and Ezrat HaKohanim, because an Israel was not allowed to enter the Ezrat HaKohanim unless it was for a particular need related to the Korbanot, for example, to do smicha, meaning resting the hands of the Korbanot, or tnufa, or waving parts of a Korban, which we've learned about previously. Rabbi Eliezer ben Yaakov, explains, Ma'ala haita gvoha ama, that actually the Ezrat Kohanim was raised up by a step from the, by an ama from the Ezrat Israel. The Hadduchan, there was also a platform there. Sha'alav ha'levim, that's where the Levi'im stood when they would sing Shira when they came to the Korbanot. So yesterday we saw that they stood on the steps of Zerat Nashim at the time of Simcha Beit Shuvah, but when it came to Korbanot, they stood on this Duchan, this long stretch of a step. Natun Aleya, it was placed on that step, meaning that level up that we explained, that according to Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov, was separated the Ezrat Israel and Ezrat Kohanim. And it says, Shalosh ma'alot shel chatzi 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 ama. And that duchan, that platform, had three steps on it, each of which was a half ama. And nimtza, we find, Ezrat Kohanim govam Ezrat Israel shtei amot u'mechetza. If you're doing the maths, we have this, according to Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov, we find that it was a one amma up, plus these three steps, each of these are half amma, so we find the Ezrat Kohanim, according to Rebbe Eliezer ben Yaakov, was 2.5 amot from this, above the surface of the Ezrat Israel. Mishnah explains now, Kul ha'azara, the entire Azara haita orach, and this is from the beginning of Ezrat Israel, so it's including Ezrat Israel, until all the way behind the Kodesh HaKodeshim, its full length was 187, so it was 187 amot. Al rochav and the width of it, as we've been explaining till now, no surprises here, was 135 amot wide. Utrosha asrei cheshtachavayot hayusham, and there were 13 different places where they would bow. Now, why were there 13 places to bow? Well, one understanding, which is the Tanakhama, the first opinion, as we learned in Mishnah Gimel, that was related to the place, the locations where the Yavani made breaches, and they would bow as a sign of gratitude for the miracle that occurred. The Chashmonim regained control and fixed these breaches. The breaches related, that we said before, related to the Chel. However, Abba Yossi ben Hanan Omer, he explains differently. He says, actually, the Keneged Shlosha Asar She'arim, there were actually 13 gates in the Azara. Now, previously we said when we began the Masechta that there were 7. And I said to you at the time that in Kahati's diagram, there appeared to be a lot more. And that is because it appears to be going according to the opinion of Yossi ben Hanan, as we'll explain now. So Mishnah explains, Shadromi im smuchim lamarav, the southern gates. So we're going to explain all these gates according to the opinion of Abba Yossi ben Hanan. So we'll see some more compared to what we saw previously when we only discussed seven. So the southern side, this is the side of the where we have the ramp. The most western, so the deepest one in, that is Shar HaElyon. That is the upper gate. Upper giving its, considering its high point in Har HaBayit. Next to it, meaning we're progressing back eastward, closer as we go closer to the entrance to the Shar Nikanor. That's Shar HaDelek, which we explained, that's where the firewood that was brought through into the to fuel the Mizbeach. Shar HaBechorot, we explained that's on the southern side, as we learned previously. That was important because the Bechorot were able to be slaughtered in the south. And finally, Shar HaMayim, which again we also discussed previously. We said that's where they used to bring the water when they performed Nesuch HaMayim on Sukkot. V'lama nikra Shar HaMayim, why was it called that name? Here the mission gives a different reason. Shabbo Machanich, firstly, is one reason that we've just explained. Shabbo Machanichim Suchet Shamayim Shel Nisuch Bachag. First, as we explained, that's where the water was brought on Sukkot, when they perform the water libations on the Mizbeach. However, Eliezer ben Yaakov once again adds, he says differently, or he adds, I should say, Ubo Hamayim Mefachim V'atnim Liot Yotzi Mitachal Miftan HaBayit. There's a nevuah in Yechezkel that says in the times of the future Beit HaMikdash, there'll be a trickle of water that will come from under the threshold of this gate, and part of the nevuah, it actually turns into a powerful flowing stream. You can look that up in Yechezkel in your own time. But the reference that Nevuah is referring to that particular gate, Shar HaMayim. Ne'umatam b'tzafon smuchim l'ma'arav. So if we now go to the northern side, so if you're entering the Beit HaMikdash, that's now to your right, that the deepest point, that is Shar Yechonia. We'll explain soon exactly, as the mission continues, exactly why it was called Shar Yechonia. But if you recall, we referred to that gate previously as Shar HaNitzotz. So the Tiferet Yisrael explains that's the same gate. Next is Shara Korban, which the Korbanot that had to be offered in the Tzafon, that was the door, the gate that it went through. We discussed this previously in the Perek. Next is Shar HaNashim, and that's where if women had to bring Korbanot, they would bring Korbanot through that gate, and they'd be able to. And there's a discussion here in Kati, actually, whether they actually performed, there's a debate whether they performed smicha on their korbanot. Even if they didn't perform smicha, it was to be present for their korbanot when they brought it through that gate. This is, again, according to the opinion of Yossi ben Hanan, that there was this additional gate. And Shar Hashir, that's where they used to, the Devim used to bring into the Azara their clay shear. According to the Tiferet Yisrael, that is also the Shar HaMoked, which we were discussed previously in the Perek. So now Mishnah returns. V'lama nikra shmo Shar Yechonia. Why is that the deepest gate on the northern side called Shar Yechonia? That's Shebo Yatza Yechonia Begaluto. That's as described in Sefer Malachim Bet. That's a time when that Yechonia, before he went to Galut, went to exile, he went through that gate to bow, and went to Bavel. Now Sheba Mizrach, this is the first gate, the gate we just went through to the Israelite Israel, and from this point you should be quite familiar with it. That's our Shar Nikanor, which we've discussed a number of times in this Pesach already. Ushnei Pishbashin Hayulo. There were two small gates on either side, Chad Mimino veChad Mismolo, one on the right and one on the left. And they're certainly counted amongst the 13. It's in order to get to that value, and it says Ushnaim b'Ma'arav. There's also two on the western side, which is behind the Kodesh HaKodeshim, and that says Lo Haya Lahem Shem. They had no name because they were very, very infrequently used. Now let's begin the third perek. Hamizbeach. Now we're talking about the big Mizbeach, Mizbeach HaNechoshet, or Mizbeach Adama, which is out in the actual courtyard in the Azara, on which the korbanot were offered. So Misha says, Mizbeach haya shlim ushtaim. The base of it was 32 amot by 32 amot. So just for your benefit, so you can visualize this, if we take each amaz being about a half a meter, so it's about 16 meters by 16 meters. So it's quite big. And the Mishnah explains that it wasn't just one big block, one big tower. When it, as we've explained previously, it would progressively narrow as it went up. So the Mishnah says, "Ala ama v'kanas ama." It would, after you'd go up by an ama, it would actually go in by an ama, and that region at the bottom is called the yisod. The yisod didn't wrap around the entire base, so it wasn't really 32 amot by 32 amot. If you recall, it was only wrapped around the, it was only jutted out, I should say, on the north and western sides, and slightly going into the slightly, there's different opinion exactly if how much it actually went into the on the east and southern sides. The southern side is where the ramp is, but in any event, just to be clear, the southeastern side had no yusod at all. Exactly how much it went into those the east and southern side is a matter for further discussion. The point I was simply making is the yesod wasn't a big 32 by 32 amah block at the bottom. Let's continue. So nimtza, we find that once you've gone in by amah, now the base of the next section, which is called the sovev, is only 30 by 30. Shloshim ha-shloshim. Allah, they went up 5 amot. V'kanas amah, then we go in again. So that next block that's on top of the yesod, which is now 5 amot high from the yesod, is called the sovev. Nimtza, so we find the base of the next section is the Srimushmona, Allah Srimushma, 28 by 28. Then once you get to the top of the Mizbeach, after you've gone up by 3 Amot, we've got Makom Kar Hakranot. You've got to take into account the corners, so we have to this, which were Ama Mizeh or Ma Mizeh, which were an Ama by Ama. So if we don't include the corners now, Nimtza, we have the space on top is now Srim Veshesh, Allah Srim Veshesh, 26 by 26. Then you also have to have Makom Hiluch Ragle Kohanim. That there was a path for the Kohanim to walk, Ama Mizeh or Ma Mizeh, which is an Ama wide. Nimtza, so we find the usable space on top of the Mizbeach. It was now Srim Va'arba, Allah Srim Va'arba, 24 Amot by 24 Amot. That's Makom Ha'maracha. That's the location where they're able to build the, according to this Misechta, the three different fires on which they. Of the first burn of Korbanot, that took the coals for the Ketoret, and finally the fire that was Ve'esh Tamid. So from a base of 32 by 32 Amot, the top of this Be'ach, the usable area was 24 by 24. Amar Rabbi Yossi, Mitchila, in the times of Beit Rishon, Loya Ela Shmona Ve'esrim, Ashmona Ve'esrim. In the first Beit HaMikdash, it was only 28 by 28 Amot. And Kones V'oleh Midazo, if you go up and in, and according to the pattern we did before, you find the area on top of the Mizbeach that was usable was only Esrim al Esrim, 20 by 20 Amot. Or Kushul being at Bnei Gola, in the time of the second Beit HaMikdash when they returned from Babel, Hosifa Lav, they added 4 Amot in the south and 4 Amot in the west. So that's how they increased the base to be 32 by 32. In other words, only widen it on two sides. Kamin gamma, like a gamma, a Greek gamma, which is like a right angle to two lines joined together. Shenema, how do we know that? V'ha'ariel, shtem esrei orech, shtem esrei rocha ravua. Which sounds like the Mizbeach, meaning the location where they could burn the fires, was only 12 by 12. How does that work? Especially when we said it seemed to be when we said it was meant to be much more than that. The first Beit HaMikdash was 20 and the second was 24. And this is a Nevuah, this is again a Nevuah coming from Yechezkel. So it's referring to the future Beit HaMikdash. So Yechol She'enu El Shtemasre Al Shtemasre could really only be 12 by 12. Kishu Omer, however, when it says Al Arba'at Reva'av, the understanding of that Pasuk is Melamed Shemina Emtza, we're measuring from the center. So from the center of the Mizbeach, it was 12 in one direction and 12 in the other. Shtemasra malako ruach, that brings us to 24 amot is a place of maracha, which is exactly like it was in the times of Beit Sheni. Kati goes into further detail in terms of the motivation for them widening the Mizbeach in times of Beit Sheni, but this shiur is already longer than normal, but so I'll leave that for your further study. Mishnah then continues, V'chut shel sikra, there was a red line, chogro be'emtza, that was in the at the middle of the height of the Mizbeach. And that was located 5 amot from the floor, so which is 4 amot from the yesod. And that was lahavdil, to separate bein damim ha'elyonim ledamim tachtonim. That was to separate between the blood of the chatat behema, so a korban that was a sin offering, and the olat ha'of, meaning a bird fully burnt offering. And those bloods from the other korbanot that had to be offered below. So that was a line that separated them. By yesod, as I explained in the beginning of the Mishnah, Hayesod Hayam Mehalech al Pnei Kol Tzafon Val Kol Pnei Ma'arav. I explained that the Yesod only jutted out in its entirety along the northern side and the western side. V'chel Badarom Ama Achat V'o B'Mizrach Ama Achat. And it would go, come into the south by one Ama, and for the Mizrach, and meaning to the east, it would also go out one Amah. So according to, without going over the discussion of the debate we mentioned previously in this year, if you have the pictures of Kahati, what it simply means when it extends by an Amah, according to these pictures, is that it would extend, it would simply continue extending outwards. So if it's going along the western side, it would, as it reaches the edge of the where the Sovov was, it would continue going out by another Amah. So it doesn't necessarily do a left turn, but it would just keep extending out in that direction. Those are the Mishnah today.